Okay, I'd like to start with a scripture this morning. This is from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Would you like to be more focused on the good in your world? Would you like to be more aware of how your life is touched by divinity? Would you like to see how your prayers are being answered? Would you like to live a happier and more grateful life? Then spiritual journaling is for you. That was my pitch. Unity emphasizes the divine spark that's inside all of us. And journaling as a spiritual practice helps us to access that divine spark, the divine wisdom that we all have inside of us. Probably everyone here and everyone watching on YouTube has had brief flashes of that divine wisdom, you know, moments when you just feel at one with the Spirit. You feel like you're really walking with the Spirit. But most of us know that continuous access to that wisdom requires some form of discipline on our parts. For some of us, that could be regular meditation. For some, it might be contemplative prayer. Some people use the ancient practice of Lectio Divina, where you take a sacred scripture and you sit with it. It consists of four parts: reading, meditating, praying, and contemplating. But today, I want to focus on the discipline of spiritual journaling. For me, the practice is really simple. I just write a letter to God every day. That's it. Okay, I'm done. So I use words, right? Just words. But we all know that our words have great power. Many of us have been damaged by other people's words, particularly when we were children. If we heard negative things, we internalized those words. We can still be damaged by other people's words. We can take them in. Your words contain authority, especially when you are in a position of authority. And who is a greater authority over your life than you? So using your words to communicate with God on a regular basis by maintaining a spiritual journaling practice, it allows you to stay in touch with heaven, to record the positive messages you receive, and most importantly to me, to monitor the growth and progress that you make in your spiritual life. I like to see growth. You know, when I'm disciplined and do something on a regular basis, I like to see that there's some payoff there. These days, we have a lot of fear, don't we? A lot of fear in our lives, right? We've had an unprecedented period of disease, highly contagious, deadly, and it's spread throughout the entire world. There's a lot of talk about the disease and its mutations, and the vaccine that was developed to combat it. And many of us, most of us, have been touched by friends and family who've suffered or died from it. I had it. It wasn't fun. I'm one of the lucky ones, though. I came through with no long-term effects. In the midst of all of this, I ask you, who are you listening to? Are you listening to that sweet, small voice of God? That quiet little voice? Or are you listening to the louder voices, the voices that we hear all the time? Spiritual journaling can help you determine which voices you're listening to and help you redirect who you're listening to. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I used to teach religious education in my faith tradition, which is Roman Catholicism. And I kind of went along as my kids grew up. I got older as I taught. So I was teaching a sixth grade class. And you know, sixth graders are a little tough sometimes, right? On the verge of puberty or already right in puberty, and they can be a little bit rebellious and difficult. So I figured, all right, let me use some music, because music is universal, and a lot of times music can affect us in ways that words might not affect us. So I was playing a song. I decided to choose this song called Who Are You Listening To? And I played the song, and you know, about half the class, most of the class, they were listening. They were paying attention to the words. But there was one boy who just didn't want to listen. And he was trying to ruin it for everybody else. And after the song, he was a smart aleck. And, he made some smart aleck comments about what a stupid song it was and all that stuff. And at the moment, because, you know, hindsight is 20/20, I could have said, are you listening to him or are you listening to this song? But it really proved the point. Who are you listening to? You know, because some of those voices can be really, really loud. And I also have a friend that I used to meet on a regular basis, and she talked a lot about lies. Sometimes we listen to the wrong voices, and it's not the truth. It's lies. And that came out one night when we were sitting at Professor Java's, and I was telling her about some negative things that a family member was saying to me. And she said, lies. And then I told her about how I felt when that family member said negative things. She said, lies. And no matter what I said, she said, lies. So we just fell out laughing because it's true. You know, we have to choose who we listen to. I believe, and I know your faith community believes, and most of you do, that prayer changes things. Regular spiritual journaling can help us to see how our prayers are being answered. It can also show us that every single difficulty that we go through can be used to help another person down the road. We are not meant to do this alone. My first book, Abba House and Me, Prayer Changes Everything, I started writing that as a history of a house of prayer that operated in Albany for 30 years. And I did that because one of the foundresses was my first spiritual director. But as I started writing that, for some reason, I also felt compelled to write about my spiritual life at that time, the things that I was going through. And that was a period of time when my older son was very, very sick. We went through a period of 7 years when he was extremely sick, and we had to do a lot of different things to try to get him help. So it was hard writing those things. It was difficult writing those things. But people who've read the book afterwards that have children in similar situations have said that it's helped them. And a friend of mine who I think is here today, if I can see under your mask, Kim, is that you? No, it's not Kim. Okay. She looks just like Kim. It's so hard in these masks, you know? But anyway, you make me think about Kim. She said to me, this is a very hopeful book. So everything that we go through can be used to help another person. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't have been able to write those sections of the book if I hadn't had a spiritual journaling practice, because I would not have remembered what happened. So it was very helpful and practical. And writing my daily prayer to God showed me how close God was to my family. Prayer kept my family together. Spiritual journaling is prayer. That's what it is. And if I hadn't been constantly searching for God's will in the midst of that chaos, I would have become very self-directed, very self-centered, thinking that I needed to have all the answers, I needed to know what to do, me, me, me. But instead, I knew enough to bring it to God. What I needed to do was pray and give it to God and then pay attention to the direction that I was being led. So I wrote and I asked for help. I still do every day. I write and I say, help me with this, please. Help me with this, please. And then I write about what happened and how my prayers were answered. And then I reread that and I see God's hand in my life. And you can do that too. By following this simple formula, I notice and appreciate what I like to call the God incidences or the God winks, right? Those little nudges like, I got your back. Some people like to, you know, kind of shove that off as saying, oh, that's just good luck or karma or whatever. I prefer to think it's God's hand in my life, on my life, all the time. And it reminds me of this verse. I love this verse. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. God lifts himself up to show mercy to me, to show mercy to you. Can you picture that? You picture God just sitting there and then he sees, oh, look, there's Anne. She needs help. And just kind of lifting up and saying, what can I do? How can I make this better? It's a beautiful verse. That's Isaiah 30. So here's another area where the practice of spiritual journaling helps me. I love the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Most people are familiar with that scripture. It's a good one to hold on to during difficult times. That's Philippians. But for me personally, I need discernment to determine what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to leave to someone else. Because I'm a bit of a doer. You know, I go, 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 do, 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 fix, fix, fix. I go to a 12-step program for that. My control issues. So, you know, there have been times when I've been in that go, go, fix, fix mode that I've interpreted that scripture as meaning I had to do all things by myself without help from God or others. But with regular spiritual journaling, I can discern what's mine and what I should give to someone else to do just to leave. Leave my hands off. Take my hands off of it. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. But yet, each one of us is new, aren't we? We are all unique. Every one of us is different, like a snowflake, right? Snowflakes are each unique. That's kind of hard to imagine and hard to believe, but it's true. Even identical twins are different in some ways. And so each nothing new is under the sun, nothing is new under the sun, is indeed new to us. Because we bring our paradigms, our life experiences to whatever is happening. We interpret things differently. And journaling as a spiritual practice helps us to explore that and look at that and see how we're being touched by things. So when I teach this class as a four-part series, which I'm excited, I hope I'm going to be able to do that here at Unity, what I like to do is build community of people that are doing the same thing. So we meet for 4 weeks in a row, and we come together and for about an hour, and we, you know, talk about our journaling practice and what we've learned and how it's going and encourage each other. And I have a curriculum, too. As a matter of fact, I used the curriculum to write this book, Journaling as a Spiritual Practice, because I had the curriculum. So it was like my framework for the book. So I always talk about the importance of rereading the journal. It is essential to go back and reread your journal, especially if you follow that formula of asking for help, writing about what happened. You have to go back and see. And when you go back and read, you see the blessings. The blessings are just enormous. It's you know, God is with us all the time, every single minute of the day. But we're so caught in this world that we don't often think about that. So it's really important to go back and reread your journal. Usually what I'd like to do is I read at least the day before when I sit down to journal for the day. And then a couple of times a month, I read a couple of weeks. But the most significant reread that I do is I do a retreat usually in December or January where I like to just go away and be by myself, a self-directed retreat, and I read the whole year. I see the whole year, and it's amazing. It's just phenomenal, the things that happened in the year. And if I didn't write them down, I wouldn't remember them. You know, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't remember them. So that retreat, that time alone with the God of my understanding and my journal, my letter to God, my prayer, is a very special time every year for me. If I've had a particularly difficult year, like the year 2018 was the year my late husband passed, the read-through can really elicit some strong emotions. And being in a safe, quiet retreat space away from the pressures of daily life is very helpful, helps me to process those emotions. And along that note, life is not always a bowl of cherries, is it? Life is tough. Life can be really tough. And your spiritual journaling practice is a great place to vent, particularly if you find that you're saying the same complaints over and over again to different people. You hear yourself saying, oh, here I go again. I'm complaining again. I'm doing it again. That's like a trigger to say, oh, I need to bring this to God. I need to bring this to my journal, and I need to bring this to God and let go of it. Writing honestly about your feelings, telling God your negative emotions, and asking the divine for assistance can be really, really cathartic, really good. Get all that stuff out. Through your spiritual journaling practice, you are deepening your relationship with the God of your understanding. And like all good, healthy relationships, you can vent. You can speak freely. When you're in a good, healthy relationship, you can speak honestly with another person. And remember, God has broad shoulders. I love that. God can take it. I remember one time I was so frustrated. It was when my son was sick, and I was in the car and I was driving, and I just started screaming at God, just screaming. And then I realized, it's okay. You know, it's okay to do that. That's not the way I was raised in my faith tradition. You know, we didn't scream at God. We were taught that God screamed at us. But now I know that it's okay. It's okay to yell and to holler and to cry. You know, it's okay. So here's a few practical suggestions for your journaling practice. When you sit down to journal, try to unplug. Turn off your cell phone, turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn it all off. Put your attention and your focus in your journaling. It's like if you were going out to lunch with someone, with a friend that you hadn't seen in a long time, and you kept looking at your phone, how would your friend feel? Really not too good, right? Yeah. So the same thing. This is a relationship. So be respectful and focus. Focus on the relationship. Find a favorite spot or two or three, but a regular spot where you like to go and do your journaling. Make it comfortable and secluded enough that you won't be interrupted as much as possible. I mean, you know, there's always interruptions. When my children were small, it's hard to believe that my children were ever small. This is my son here. I sat at the kitchen table and lit a candle held by a candle holder that my older son had given me during a particularly difficult time of his life. So it meant a lot to me that he had picked out this candle holder for me. I would light the candle and I would read, you know, read scriptures and do my journaling. And when my sons attempted to interrupt me, as children do, my late husband would say, "Leave your mother alone, she's praying." So he was my guardian there. Sister Libby used to talk about, this woman that had a lot of children. She was a housewife, and she had one of those big aprons, you know. And when she wanted to pray, she would pull the apron up over her head. So in that way, she was kind of getting all that stuff away from her eyes, but she was also telling her children that she was praying, you know. I heard another story about a man who would take a chair when he came home from work, take a chair and bring it into the bathroom and put it in the bathtub and sit there and do his prayer time because you know, in that family, people weren't interrupted in the bathroom. That's not always the case. Some of us that have pets know that too, right? They even scratch at the door. So, okay. So another thing, try to make your time your time. Add some special touches, maybe a particular pen that you like that writes really smoothly, a pretty journal. I just bought a pretty journal when we were in Cape Cod that has jewels all over the cover. So, you know, a special journal, something that touches your heart. Maybe a shawl, a prayer shawl or a regular shawl. Maybe a candle or some, you know, incense or essential oils. Just something to really put you in the mood, to make it a sacred time. So make it your special sacred time. Remember to be as free and creative as you want to be. This is your journal. This is your letter. Nobody else is going to read it. It's yours. If you're worried about people reading it, we'll talk about that in the class, because that's a worry that sometimes people have. But be free. You know, relax your grammar rules. Relax your spelling rules. Nobody's going to publish this. You know, this is yours. Even collage if you want to, or draw or paint, whatever you like to do. And please, please remember that you can't do this wrong. There's absolutely no way that you can do it wrong. Just show up and do it. That's all you have to do. So we're going to do a little meditation practice to help us do what the scripture at the beginning of my talk told us. Remember? I'm going to read that again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. This is an exercise from my book. I put exercises in here. That's what I call them, exercises, but they're not really exercises. You know, they're not like exercises. They're spiritual exercises. They're meditations, really. And this one is called Relive the Joy. So get comfortable in your chair, your pew, wherever you are, feet flat on the floor. You know, it's always best to straighten your spine. Let the energy flow through your spine. So roll your shoulders back and down. Shake out your head a little bit and close your eyes. And I invite you to remember an event in your life that was particularly joyful. So just pick one event that was particularly joyful. Use all of your senses. Remember the weather, the time of day, the season, and its sights and smells. Remember the people who were with you. Recall their mannerisms and their voices. Think about what and who you touched, the fabric of the clothes you wore, or the feel of a person's skin. If there was food or drink, recall the taste in your mouth. Connect with your feelings and what brought you joy that day. And just sit with that for a minute. And when you're ready, thank the divine for that experience. Thank the people in your memory who are with you. And wiggle your fingers and toes. Come back here and open your eyes. We have access to joy all the time. We're so blessed.